the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 11th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Political candidates running for federal office have grown increasingly reliant on out-of-state donations. That's according to a new report.
Government transparency group Open Secrets finds Senate candidates from less populated states like Maine receive more than half their donations from out of state, with only a little more than that for House contenders. Research director Sarah Briner says social media is boosting candidates' profiles, allowing them to raise funds from people who will likely never vote for them.
You would just assume that people who are giving to candidates in Maine would be from Maine. That, over time, has become less and less the case.
Briner says Democrats are more reliant on out-of-state money than Republicans, although the gap has narrowed in recent years. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
One example, after Susan Collins of Maine voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, out-of-state donors flooded her opponent's campaign with donations unprecedented in previous Maine elections. President Joe Biden will mark the 22nd anniversary today of the September 11 attacks in Alaska as he returns home from foreign travel, that from Spectrum, New York. The president will be returning from his overseas trips to India for the G20 summit and his first visit to Vietnam since taking office. Biden will speak to about 1,000 first responders and their families at a military base in Anchorage, Alaska. Meantime, Vice President Kamala Harris will be at the National September 11 Memorial Museum in Lower Manhattan. Colorado wants to reduce climate pollution from apartments and commercial buildings 50,000 square feet and larger. But there is growing concern that retrofitting buildings could exacerbate the state's affordable housing crisis if costs are passed along to tenants.
As Inflation Reduction Act and other climate mitigation funding becomes available, Jennifer Gremmert with Energy Outreach Colorado says it's important to ensure protections for families already struggling to pay their utilities and rent.
We're optimistic about a lot of funding coming in, but really need to target it in the area where we believe the most need is, and that's affordable housing, buildings that are serving vulnerable households, et cetera.
Regulation 28, set to go into effect in mid-October, aims to reduce emissions by 7% by 2026 and 20% by 2030. Building owners will have some leeway in how they can comply and limit costs, and state officials will help property managers get information about grants and other ways to finance a major shift in how households use energy. Governor Jared Polis has also issued an executive order designed to boost affordable housing by speeding up project funding. I'm Eric Galatis.
Estimates are commercial and residential buildings are responsible for 13% of the nation's climate pollution. This is Public News Service. This election season, Indiana will have a new governor or perhaps a new mayor of Indianapolis. Our Terry D tells us one group is working to increase voter participation from Hoosiers with disabilities, who may sometimes feel left out of the process.
Beyond the Ballot is a nonpartisan virtual meeting coming up this evening. The goal is to inform residents about different ways to be involved in the upcoming elections. Kristen Dulaney with Indiana Disability Rights says the online session is an opportunity for people to take a deep look at how decisions are made at the Indiana State House and nationally.
It's so important for the disability community to feel like they're fully represented throughout the entire election process. We have the right to vote, and yes, we should make our voice heard.
The virtual meeting is this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Dulaney says it will include a brief refresher on disability voting rights, how to be a poll worker, and ways to volunteer for a political campaign. More information is online at HoosiersVote.org. I'm Terry D. reporting.
A strike at a manufacturing facility in Newton is entering its sixth week.
Some 84 workers represented by the United Automobile, Aerospace, and Agricultural Implement Workers of America United, better known as the UAW, are on strike at Thombert, a large manufacturer of electric forklift tires. They've been off the job since August 1st. UAW Local 997 President Steve Wirtz says his team is striking over the same issues that typically prompt a rift between employees and management.
The issues we're facing right now are wages, changes to our health care costs, insurance. We are also dealing with vacation, trying to get people out of there for work-life balance. Those are the main sticking points.
Wirtz says the average worker earns about $23.50 an hour at the Thombert plant. I'm Mark Moran.
Finally, our Farah Siddiqui reports Michigan water rates have surged over 40% since 2010. It's a trend that's expected to continue as cities and utilities work to upgrade aging systems.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says people shouldn't be paying more than 4.5% of their monthly income for water and sewer services. But Monica Lewis-Patrick, who heads up We the People of Detroit, says water rates can run as high as 25% of some household incomes.
So when a person is spending that much just to access water, then we know some other things are being challenged in terms of their access to food, being able to pay their rent, clothing, medical needs, those kinds of things.
It is estimated about 200 communities across Michigan are overburdened with the cost of their water infrastructure. This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting a week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.